You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me tonight has been Joe Wilcox, the president of the North Center Chamber of Commerce and Wilcox Company. And he is, one of the driving forces behind Rib Fest, the 18th year. Over 55,000 pounds of ribs will be devoured this weekend. Adam Selzer, have you been to Rib Fest before?
I never have. No, it sounds wonderful, though.
I think that you should come with me.
Yeah, when is it?
Craig might be doing the amateur. It starts Friday at 5 p.m. and then Saturday and Sunday from noon till 10.
Friday?
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm going to be traveling all over this week.
You got stuff to promote? You're going to be at bookstores?
I've got a couple of bookstore appearances coming up. Barnes & Noble is doing a big thing called Beef Fest. A whole bunch of young adult authors are going to have some at every single store. I'm going to be at the one in Deerfield on Friday at noon.
Cool.
And then in Naperville on that same day at 5.
Oh, great.
And then immediately from there, I have to go to D.C. to run a school tour for 4 days.
Oh, man. Then, no ribs for you, my
no
friend.
No ribs for me.
No ribs. Unless you can come and watch Craig compete.
I bet I can find some ribs in D.C.
I think you can. Yeah. But Craig is going to be participating in the amateur competitive rib eating contest.
Well, surely there will be video of this.
Yes. I will be putting it on Facebook Live. Definitely going to be doing that. And to win a pair of VIP passes to RibFest, we are taking your answers to our trivia question. Michelle Lesko, who is the reigning champion of RibFest, has a nickname. By any chance, Justin, do you know the answer?
The cardboard shell.
The cardboard shell is the correct answer. Are you going to be able to get into town for RibFest this weekend?
Oh, absolutely. Plan on being there Sunday.
Oh, I'm going to be there for the, I'll be judging. So you have a pair of passes, and everybody can take a look at the different levels of VIP passes that are available. You have the gold pass, the VIP pass. There's a pair for you. We'll get his email address and then forward it to you, Joe. Sound good?
Oh, perfect.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yay, congratulations. I'm excited. And come find me at the about 5:20, 5:30 at the judging stage, which is going to be the Budweiser stage.
On Sunday?
I'll be there. Yeah.
I'll be there. That'll be definitely.
We will chomp on a couple of ribs.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much, Justin. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Again,
you do the same.
Thanks. See you Sunday. That's exciting. And Adam Selzer is our resident historian, ghost tour guide, all things Chicago.
Oh yeah, architecture tours now too. Throwing that into the ring while I'm at it.
And we were very excited with your story about one of the things you discovered about our nearby neighbors.
Oh yeah, well, I started doing architecture tours this year. I had to look up some buildings I'd never really looked into the history of before. Like right across the street from us right now is the Wrigley Building. Gorgeous Spanish cathedral style buildings, like the Big Bedham Chicago, giant clock up top. It was built around 1920. At the time, this part of Michigan Avenue was basically barren. Mm-hmm. A lot of little one-story, two-story buildings. They hadn't really
Was it a lot of retail? What kind of a...
Not really. From what I can see, it was mostly low-down rooming houses and bohemian dives.
Really?
They had really only just started building up this part of Michigan Avenue at the time. But that was the first major one. He had the whole place to himself. They knew it was going to be a major thoroughfare. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wrigley had the place all to himself. And in 1920, when it was going up, the Chicago Tribune put a huge article praising him to the sky for the fact that he decided not to put his name in giant letters on the building. He was known for his ads in Times Square. He was paying hundreds of thousands a year for his ads in Times Square. Nobody even would have blamed him if he'd had a giant ad on a building that he didn't have to pay anything for.
What a wonderful thing to be.
He just decided he wanted the most elegant office building in the world, and that meant just a little plaque at the bottom that said Wrigley Building, nothing more.
And less than a block away from it is not quite the same
and
thing.
Yeah, you go a little bit further on the boat, you know, you can't help but notice the giant name on the next building.
Well, and that's the thing, is that building is beautiful. The Trump Tower is gorgeous.
Adrian Smith. Great architect.
And it's a shame that it just doesn't stand on its own.
Yeah.
It's no Wrigley Building, though.
It's no. It's not.
You know, if
not.
Willis buys that one, I'll call that the Willis Tower.
The Willis Tower.
Yeah, I'll call that one the Willis Tower.
Although I think that's also being sold as well, the naming
rights.
Blackstone
bought it a while ago. Yeah. But I don't think they got the naming rights, which is kind of a shame because Blackstone Tower's got a nice ring
that
to it.
That sounds cool. Yes,
Real
Craig.
Quick, by the way, yeah. In this area, the best building is the Tribune Tower.
Yes.
Absolutely. 1922, we're sitting in
I was going
right
to ask
now.
How yeah. long after the Wrigley Building
Just a couple of years after.
And, of course, they made their... all their fortunes in
the chewing gum. Yeah,
chewing
gum.
Juicy fruit? Yeah. I'm a big fan of the juicy fruit. I haven't had a juicy fruit in a long time.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
When did that stop being like your favorite? Like, was that something you liked as a kid? And then everyone, I think, I want to say Hubba Bubba and Bubble Yum pushed like juicy fruits to the side for a long time.
They lasted a lot longer, right?
And we could blow big bubbles.
And the bubbles.
Yeah.
And the
bubbles.
You couldn't
do
that with juicy,
fruit.
No.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
No. You could snap it, though. Oh, do you ever get, like, somebody who just snapped their gum over and over again? You just want to, like, it can't stand that sound. Yes, Craig?
Were you guys fans of Bazooka?
It was so hard. Well, you like the cartoons, though.
Yeah.
You got to have the little comic.
Bazooka was the gum you could get one piece at a time, too. You didn't have to blow the whole 50 cents that you found on the couch cushions on the pack. You could just buy the 5 cent one piece.
Yeah,
that's true.
I agree.
Down to the general store, Casey General Store, if you lived in a small town in Iowa.
I haven't seen Bazooka in a long time. Now I want one. I want ribs and Bazooka. At like
not at the same time, right?
12:40 at night. That's all I want
not
right now.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time. No. But to cleanse my palate, I could do some Bazooka and then have more ribs. No,
could
that
be
doesn't
a competitive
sound...
chewer.
Yeah, I don't see that in my future. I have TMJ. That's going to be good for me. I wonder if TMJ sufferers can be competitive eaters. Although I can unhinge my jaw. So, yeah.
Craig... I don't know if I'd want to see a competitive chewing contest.
That's probably. But that's what's a competitive eating contest, if not competitive
chewing?
True.
Well, the chewing contest would last a lot longer. At least with
gum?
An eating contest, you know it's going to be over pretty
quick. How would you win?
Yeah, how would you win a competitive chewing?
Who can chew their cud the longest?
The longest or the most gum at one time?
Yeah.
Like,
well, I imagine there's a Guinness Book of World Records for chewing
the
gum.
Most.
I imagine it's a quite long period of time.
Does Violet Beauregard still have the record, do you think?
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I just got so distracted by the idea of chewing gum for a long period of time.
There is no official record for chewing gum. However, the Guinness World Records have three different gum-specific, longest gum wrapper chain, longest gummy candy being eaten, and most people blowing a chewy gum bubble simultaneously.
Nobody has there's no record for
no
most
record
pieces of gum in your
for
mouth.
Longest chewing of gum, most gum chewed. There is no Guinness World Record for either of those.
And I guess the most gum chewed, the record has to, you have to decide if it's going to be stick gum or, like we said, like the Bazooka gum or the gumball. It's a lot of things that can take into consideration.
Did anyone ever sit in a bar and think, gee, I wonder whoever broke the record for the most people blowing a bubble at the same time? I mean, all three of us just did it. You suppose that's the record?
Now, if we could just get 100 more.
Yeah.
There you go. So, Adam, what else do you have? What else do you have coming up? I know that you have been very busy with your tours. You're doing now the architectural tours on the river.
Yeah, doing those for the summer. I've gotten doing a lot of stuff with school groups. Been all over the country with school groups this spring. So that's been a lot of fun. We went to Nashville. I've been to St. Louis, Springfield, Hannibal. I'm going to Cincinnati next week, right after D.C. I might end up in L.A. too. I might be doing a thing with the History Channel, but I don't know for sure yet.
What are one of your favorite places to go outside of Chicago? Because I know you've told us so many of the places you like.
You know what I think one of my favorite school group tour stop ever was is a Studio B in Nashville, which is where Elvis used to record.
Oh.
And now they've just got it set up as a tourist place, but a lot of high school choirs record there. So they'll tell you a little bit about recording, and they'll talk a bit about the history of the space, and they shut all the lights down and play Elvis's first take of Are You Lonesome Tonight and show you right where he was standing when he sang it. And I'm not even a big Elvis person, but he was just chilling.
Wow.
Chilling.
That is wild. That would be great. I love Nashville. There's so much rich history there, music. There, and I think I've told you before that Zanies, and they hate that I mentioned that Zanies is haunted in Nashville, because there was a comic that pretty much hid so that when they closed down, he could stay behind and drink, and he drank himself to death. And so there are a lot of people who work there have reported sightings and mysterious things happening, but they don't want customers to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's good marketing if you know how to market it.
I
but
agree.
Then you get stuck being just at the ghost place too.
Yes, I mean it's a comedy club, so people don't really want to.
Yeah, ghosts aren't funny.
Ghosts aren't, no.
Oh, that's half of what I do is try to make ghosts funny. So.
There's a comedian named Larry Reeve. He told the story on the show, actually, about how people asked how I can't remember the name of the comic. They're like, oh, how'd he do? He goes, he died. And they thought he meant because he was a comic, he didn't do well on stage. He goes, no, he choked on his own vomit. It's one of those things you're like, okay, I guess it's the sad life of a comic. We are it's the laughter of the clowns, the sad clowns. So what are the, so you've been doing Nashville, Hannibal, Missouri, obviously
Samuel Mark Clemens. Twain, mm-hmm. Yep. And they got a cave out there, the Mark Twain Cave, and that's really terrific. I take a lot of kids to caves, but that's my favorite cave.
I know, the way he says it sounds a little bit, yeah.
I got to watch out for that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a, Mark Twain Cave was a really cool one. Fun tour guide there. They had like a 15-year-old tour guide who was just terrific. And, you know, game respect game. Then we also went to Mammoth Cave in Kentucky a while ago. That was interesting. I didn't like it as much as Mark Twain Cave somehow.
I can see that. Well, it's got a little more romanticism to it. Joe, I am going to let you go after this. But no, before you go, we were talking a little bit about North Avenue Beach. I'm sure I've mentioned to Adam Selzer my years there. How many years were you at North Avenue as a guard?
I was a 7-year guard. My father was a 5-year guard there too with Joe Pecoraro.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, he was.
I think that the boathouse was built, the original boathouse was built during the 1930s, I think. That's the boathouse that looks like a big steamboat there on North Avenue.
Sometimes said to be a replica of Captain Streeter's boat.
Oh, see, he has stories for something we didn't even know.
I've seen pictures of Captain Streeter's boat. It was never that clean.
Well, the boathouse that we worked at was not this clean either. But when we were working there, I mean, isn't it crazy how much it's changed? No volleyball nets south of the hook. Everything had to be south of the boathouse. I mean, north of the hook. It was. It's so weird now.
Everything's changed. Yeah, my son actually recently did a project. It was about a weather, and he chose a seiche as his project. And so one of the things I learned about was that those pilings out in the water,
yes,
those are seiche protectors. There's a metal wall underneath there that actually was built and strung so that the seiches, these large waves,
the force
if you don't
of it,
know, they're large rogue waves that happen without any storm, would be blocked. And in 1954, there was like a huge one that Joe Pecoraro was at,
there. Yeah,
and it killed a number of people and washed a lot of them into the water too. So,
how frequent have seiches been? They're pretty infrequent, I'm guessing, over the last few decades.
The big ones have not happened again, and I think a lot of that is the protection of it. They figured out what caused them, and they strung these walls up to prevent them.
See, Craig, we have beaches. We just figured out how to protect ourselves from the waves, and maybe that cuts back on your surface.
What waves are you talking about? There's no waves.
Yeah, Craig doesn't. Craig posits that we do not actually have beaches in Chicago.
You can't surf those waves.
He's from New Jersey.
I've seen people try.
The seiches that came were like 15 feet tall.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, but that's, you know, that's like storms and everything and stuff. You guys don't have that every day.
No storms on a seiche.
Well,
it's perfectly calm.
They're spontaneous.
That's the
they're spontaneous waves.
And how long do they last?
They're sudden. And
how well can you predict them?
But see, Joe.
So is there a low tide? Is there a high tide seiche?
It's not a tide thing.
He's saying that unless you have the
consistency,
the ocean. The ocean is the only place you can have a beach.
Yeah, that's where a beach is. You guys have a lovely lakefront. It's lovely.
Amateur eating contest canceled for you, by the way.
I mean, the beach is great here. It's just a lovely beach.
Yes, exactly.
He almost went to Christopher Walken there.
I did. I really did almost. Oh my God! Don't take it away.
I know. I should never throw a North Avenue beach guard into the conversation about whether or not these are really beaches. Because I mean, we saw a lot of things, it's the underestimation of the water that we had to be wary of with our beachgoers. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming in, hanging out with us.
I had such a great time.
I'm glad
thank
you did.
Thank you so much, Patty.
Did it erase your man cow experience?
Oh, God. You are so much better than man cow.
Just different.
You're
just
the
different.
Opposite.
It's
polar
different.
Opposite.
Just very different. Again, Ribfest this weekend starting Friday night at 5, but tonight, June 10th, Craig will be participating in the amateur rib eating contest at Rocks in North Center. What's the address again? I had it a moment ago. It starts at 6:30, and it is at 4138 North Lincoln Avenue. And I will be there on Sunday judging all the rib vendors that are participating in that contest. And you can find Joe wandering around. What are you going to be wearing? Rib Mania shirt?
Oh, yeah, definitely rib stuff.
Rib stuff.
Bibs.
Bibs. Yeah. Wear all your bibs. Ribfest-chicago.com for more information and all the events. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
I got to get my selfie with you. More after this with Adam Selzer on 720 WGN. The dance moves you got going on at Adam Selzer. How are you doing?
Yeah, I've spending so much time with these student groups. They've taught me some new moves, you know.
Some new moves?
Some new dance moves, yeah.
What's
called the DAP.
Yeah, what?
I don't know where that comes from, but anytime I'm on like a boat ride with kids or something, they'll be shouting for passersby trying to get them to DAP. It's an arm motion.
But the Griffin's classmates are getting in trouble for it and being removed from the classroom for doing it.
I'm not sure where it comes from, actually. It's just an arm motion.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, like, it could just be like...
It could just be disrupting the class.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I don't know how you're not like smooth enough, right, Esmeralda? Like to just kind of like pretend like you're stretching or something with the DAP.
I don't think kids are that slick to be like, no, I'm just stretching.
No, just, what? I was just stretching. I mean, that's what I would be doing all day long if I wanted to be rebellious and avoid being, you know, removed from the classroom. I'd be like, no, what? I had an itch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. This is a...
No, I was just raising my hand to answer the question.
Exactly.
There.
I had a question. I want to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the DAP is the one I was talking to Griffin about tonight. So that's one of the moves.
Yeah, I have learned the DAP, and I've learned to crack the whip, which is the easiest dance move in the world.
Well, what's the cracking the whip?
You take your arm and go like... You take your... It's sort of like a punch with a twist.
Okay.
And that's about it. I think
that's just
all...
a jab. I mean, that's how you're supposed to do it.
It's
that should be the Muhammad Ali. Yeah.
I've never asked another man this, Adam, but can you nay-nay?
Can you?
Can I nay-nay? I'm not sure if I can nay-nay.
Okay.
Patty, can you nay-nay?
I cannot nay-nay. Okay. I don't know what nay-naying is. I didn't know dance moves. Like when people get up and start doing the electric, whatever, what is it? The electric what?
Slide. Yeah.
I never know that.
You see, when I was a kid, we didn't have dance music. We moshed. We just moshed. Yeah, we just ran into each other and crashed into each other. Eventually, when ska took over briefly in the late 90s, we did learn to skank the pickle.
I'm sorry.
And I can do that.
I don't think that's the kind of language we want to hear.
No,
on this
I don't think. And the 630, by the way, it's called the DAB, D-A-B, not D-A-P.
Oh, it's not DAP?
It's DAB.
And do they know why it's called the DAB?
Apparently, its origin is in Atlanta's hip-hop scene.
Okay.
But there is debate. I actually Googled this, so this is all from the text. There is debate as to which rapper or hip-hop artist in Atlanta created it.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a few different people.
So is that why it's considered to be...
I don't know.
Because its origins are in rap?
Yeah.
So like if they were doing like a two-step, like would my son be kicked out as likely? Would that be his... No.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're doing the two.
It's kind of like, you know, with the metal sign, the throwing horns. There's a lot of debate about which headbanger started that.
Yeah, what is the appropriate one and which one's the kind of loser one?
Okay, if you have your thumb out, that's sign language for I love you. You have to tuck the thumb in, then you're throwing horns. You're throwing metal.
Okay,
throwing
metal.
Gene Simmons claims that was him imitating Spider-Man doing his web shooter thing. But
ooh.
Gene Simmons would probably claim that he invented oxygen if he had the chance.
That's very creative.
There's various different opinions. We know just today I had a Catholic school group at the Hard Rock Cafe. And they were throwing horns when they started playing the Rolling Stones.
Interesting. Like,
these are my kind of Catholics, man.
See, I've heard it's Dio, Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, he's also claimed it.
His mother used to. It's an Italian thing, or
Because the Italians are very creative. Like, Craig's like, why'd you just do that gesture? Because the Italians are very creative when it comes to gestures.
We are.
Right. Right. Yeah. Isn't there? What's it like? This one? I don't know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's that one.
What does that mean? Up yours?
Forget about it. Yeah, no, that's fine.
This one's forget about it?
Yeah, that's what I do.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What are some of the other gestures that
I haven't learned enough of them, but I know that when my grandmother is mad, I'll see stuff.
Okay. And so what do we think that means in Italian then, to throw horns?
It's rock on?
No, it's something about religion.
Oh. Okay.
Or something about like the devil like getting...
like warding off the devil?
There you go. Yeah.
Devil be gone?
Yeah, something
like
that.
What is the devil sign?
Oh, see?
Yeah.
We learned so much on this show. I'm glad Adam Selzer's here because it sparks our curiosity about things we might not otherwise venture down. So you've been around adolescent. What age group are you doing? All high school students?
It's been a lot of middle schoolers.
Middle schoolers.
A lot of middle schoolers. Middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Are they Chicagoans or are people coming? How did you get locked up into this?
Yeah, it was the travel company. A couple of people from the travel company came on one of my ghost tours a couple of years ago and thought I'd be good as a tour director. Mostly I just get kids from museum to museum and I'm ready with the company credit card to iron out any problems.
Oh, look at that.
So,
and sort of entertainment
In between, I'll point out interesting things and tell
little
stories. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And where can
people...
They're
from all over the place. A lot of groups. Mostly, I'd say I have more groups than anything else are from Michigan.
Okay. And what about Chicago groups?
A lot of those, too. But, suburban Chicago groups in particular.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. You know what? Yes, Craig?
I'm sorry. We're getting more text messages with DAB history. The DAB became famous because of Cam Newton from the 773.
Who's Cam Newton?
He's an NFL quarterback.
All right, then.
This is good.
Does he still eat cheese?
He does, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers has given up cheese, yes. Yeah. Just curious.
And Tom Brady. by the way, from the Wikipedia page, it could also be credited to Rich the Kid, Pee Wee Longway, Skippa Da Flippa, or Migos, who did a song called Look at My Dab.
And those are all names that we're not using for your competitive eating debut.
I like Skippa Da Flippa.
Skippa Da Flippa.
That's a pretty cool name. Duh. It's Skippa Da Flippa. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Ours, not necessary.
There's a folklore term called polygenesis, where something just kind of rises out of several different places at once.
Yes.
It kind of just, apparently Dab just kind of formed up out of our collective subconscious, and we pulled it out of the universal mind in several places
at
once.
But it's just this.
Yeah, it's not...
I don't understand.
It's not one of your more...
Does it go beyond this?
It's not one of your more complicated dance moves.
Statue thing.
It's... This is the kind of dance even I can do.
I can see a football player. I'm going to go with Cam Newton on this one. I'm going to go with Cam as the originator of this.
Yeah, that seems more like a football celebration move or something, really, than a dance.
Well, it's also a little bit variation on the Heisman, isn't it? Kind of this, isn't it a little bit like that?
It is similar to the Heisman. Yeah. It's kind of like an inverted Heisman.
What? This is good radio.
The official dab, by the way, is that you put your one hand completely up, and then you put your other hand up as to almost make a line, and then you tuck your head toward your armpit.
Okay,
that
so
is the dab.
Now,
nope.
If you rotate 40 degrees, you're doing the Jess Man.
Okay.
From Full House. When Uncle Jesse could not learn a complicated dance when they were trying to make him into a rapper at the record label, they taught him to do the Jess Man, which is essentially a dab inverted so that you're now going perpendicular to how you were before.
It looks like a C.
It's very similar to a C. It probably was supposed to be a J. And then you just walk forward while doing the Jess, and that's doing the Jess Man.
Esmeralda is horrified with everything that's happening in the studio. She doesn't want to even have anything to do with this. She's removed herself emotionally. She's trying to stay out of it. Go to WGNradio.com. You can see the nonsense of great radio that we're doing with hand gestures. The dab, the J, the C, the horns. It's working out very well here, Craig. And we have no music. We're doing all these moves with no music. I think that's really the challenge that we have decided to throw down for ourselves. So you have events coming up this weekend, Adam, at various bookstores.
A couple of Barnes & Nobles, the one in Deerfield at noon and then in Naperville at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
I'll be signing copies of books of mine like The Ica's to Zombie and I Liked It, Play Me Backwards, which is now out in paperback.
And these are young adult.
These are young adult novels, too.
And they're more of the supernatural variety?
Not necessarily. Play Me Backwards, he's hanging out with a guy who claims to be Satan and may actually be telling the truth, but you never find out for sure.
Okay.
Want a little music before we hit the news?
Yes.
Do the Jess Man.
Yes!
Why is it... Dun. But that seems more like it's like you're enchanting a snake.
Yeah, they had him as a genie. They were doing a rap version of Forever, the Beach Boys song that he sang at his wedding, and which was the number one hit in Japan.
So are they do you have a video of them doing the J?
Do the J.
They're doing a lot of stuff, actually. There's a lot going on.
They tried to teach him much more complicated dance moves, but he wasn't really a dancer.
All right. More after our news.
More Full House references after the news.
After the news. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Adam Selzer is with us, and he has two events coming up this weekend at Barnes & Noble in Deerfield and then in Naperville.
And in Naperville at 5.
You got to make that cross. You got to get through traffic. Friday traffic's going to be brutal.
Yep.
And Kevin Naughton, who is appearing, he's performing at Zany's on Monday night with Snapshots, his showcase of comics who are on the verge of snapping.
Yes.
And Tuesday night at Zany's in Rosemont.
Yes.
And we have tickets to give away in the next half hour.
That would be wonderful if we...
Do you want to do a trivia or do you want to just do a... You can pick a caller, like a fourth caller. What do you want to do?
Yeah, fourth caller. That sounds great.
Fourth
right
caller
there.
For your pick of tickets to Zany's on Wells on Monday night or Zany's in Rosemont on Tuesday night. 312-981-7200. We have a pair of tickets for you to go see a comedy show at one of my favorite comedy clubs, both of which are my favorite. Zany's on Wells for different reasons from the Zany's in Rosemont. Zany's on Wells, one of the oldest live comedy clubs. I mean, it's just such a great room.
Yeah.
It's a hard room.
Oh, it can be.
It can be.
Oh,
yeah.
Baby, that can be a real hard room. You can destroy that room and have the greatest set of your life, mm-hmm. like, say, Saturday, second show, and then Saturday, third show. You go up there, and all of your relatives are there, mm-hmm. and you just die a slow death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm glad you go around the corner, and one of the bars is open till 5.
Hello, Old Ale House.
Thank you.
That's a good place. That's one of the, have you been to the Old Town Ale House?
That's a classic. Yeah.
It's such a great bar. That's one of the best.
I was we did a Monday night, one of my Monday nights. We got done, and we all, of course, you know, the staff, we go around the corner to the Old Town Ale House. We're having a beer, and it's a Monday night, so it's not too heavily populated. But all of a sudden, it started to get more people, more people, more people. And usually, you know this, of course, when the shows are letting out, the Zany show, the staff comes over, the comics come over, The same thing with the Second City people. They come over, mm-hmm. so you got all these people. All of a sudden, more people. And by the way, the graffiti in the men's room at the Old Town Ale House is hilarious, okay?
Oh, I've never seen it. Yeah, I'll have to go in there sometime.
We'll have to get you a pass, Patty.
Yes, please. Just clear the room.
Yeah, but one day, all of a sudden, all these people started coming in, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, what the heck's going on? I got up, I went to the door. Who's standing at the door talking to the doorman? Bill Murray.
What?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean,
That's great.
And he apparently stopped off at Second City and hung around a little
And the people
bit.
Followed him.
Yes, as they would do.
Yes, they would.
Him. Right over to the Ale House. That's that I love that place. Apparently, the Ale House has a little history behind it. You know, all the video, the footage that you see, like at a 68 convention, mm-hmm. when a lot of the hippies were getting beaten up in front of the Conrad Hilton, and there was all kinds of rioting, all kinds of problems. Well, they originally congregated at the Old Town Ale House.
Really?
Yes. They gathered there, and then they went about, marched on their way, and somehow, apparently,
which Hilton were the, was right here in front of Grant Park, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they walked all the way from Old Town.
Apparently, that's what I understand.
They were on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then.
If I'm lying, it's still interesting.
Well, I wouldn't consider it to be a lie. It would just be the information that you have.
Yeah, that's what I got. Yeah.
That's what you got right now.
Oh, yeah. Let's not get, what's the old saying? Don't Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, that's our stock and trade is being comics. You know,
just
embellishment.
Take the truth and have fun with it. Add a little to it. Have some fun with it.
Isn't it the weirdest thing when you get an audience member who like doesn't believe anything you say? Like they can't suspend disbelief, because our job really is to take real events, our perspective, and sort of blow it up for a performance. I had a woman in the audience one time. She's like, no. Come on, like just everything. I had to walk into the middle of the room. I got off the stage and I walked up to her table. And I go, you're like someone who's on a roller coaster who didn't know there were going to be any hills. I don't know what you expected. I needed to go along with the ride.
Yeah.
Nobody else in the room is reacting the way it was throwing my timing off.
Oh, okay. Now, with that, one time I was doing a show. Can we mention another club that no longer exists?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, the old Improv that was
on Wells.
Grandin Wells.
That's where we met. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay. That's all right.
Load up the can. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
All right, so we're there, and there was a guy. It was this one night. I'll never forget this night. There was about 72 people in the audience.
Which sounds like a decent crowd, but that room sat 500.
Yeah, and they had to curtain it all off, so we got it. It's a third show. It's a midnight show.
Oh, God.
There was a bachelor party of, I think, about a dozen guys that were hammered out of their skulls for the midnight show.
Oh, boy.
And I went up there, and you know the old movie Midnight Cowboy, the part that Dustin Hoffman played, Rizzo Ratso?
Ratso.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's just, he the way he spoke mm-hmm. is the way that this guy up front center talked to me. He was smoking, this back in the day when you could smoke a cigarette in a club.
Clubs,
yeah.
Sure.
He's smoking a cigarette, and everything, I was talking about my car at the time and the difficulties I was having with my car. And as I'm talking about my car, he's like, yeah. And I got a car like that. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I got a car. That happened to me. Yeah, I got a car just like that. Oh, yeah. What a piece of junk. I hate that. That's it. That's what happened to me. And nobody can hear this but me.
You. Uh-huh. Oh, it's the worst as a comic are the people up front.
Man. And you got to pound through the whole thing. Yep. By the end of that night, the headlining comic was a guy named Jack Cohn, who ended up being the
writer for Tonight Show.
For the Tonight Show, yeah. Jack ended up, he verbally told, he started throwing people out from the stage.
Oh, my God.
He said, you're an idiot. Get out of here. You're an idiot. Get out of here. You're an idiot. The police had to come. They had to, the guys from the bachelor party eventually got to the bar area and started picking fights with everybody that was left. And they had to call the Chicago police, and the police had to come. And that
club got rough.
Yeah.
Toward the end there.
Pull people out.
Well, because they started papering the room. Which means that they started giving away all, like everything, just and 500 seats, and they're trying to compete with the Funny Firm, which became the Fallout, and it was the whole thing just imploded.
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah,
yeah. And it was nice to be there for the implosion too.
I was not. Baby. I was not there for the end.
No, you were.
I was a persona non grata by that point.
I remember your non grata.
Yeah, everyone knew my non grata. It was a lot of non grata. We are hanging out with a comedian, Kevin Naughton, who's performing at the Zanies on Wells this Monday night. Showtime is at 8:30?
8:30 on Monday night, mm-hmm. and then North and Wells, and then Tuesday, the show that Cindy's GMing is the 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And then on Tuesdays, it's a lot of fun, too, by the way. If you go out to the entertainment district there in Rosemont, right there, there's the Movie Co. and all the great pubs, the bowling alley. They all have, there's live music in that middle area there.
Yeah, they got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, so you can go enjoy some, sample some of the restaurants, maybe have a cocktail, listen to some great music, and then go in and see a comedy show. You get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you can. I want them to come right into the comedy show, but if you have to stop and listen to some music.
Stop and listen to some music. Get there like around 6:30. Gives you plenty of time.
That would give
you. Go right from work. Just go. And by the way, and if you're confused about the parking structure, just go up the ramp. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by one of our favorite historians, ghost tour guides, and tour guide of Chicago in architecture tours and
all kinds of tours.
All kinds
grave
of tours.
Robbing tours. I'm doing a lot more of those lately.
Ooh.
Grave robbing 101.
Grave robbing 101. I don't know if you should teach people those skills.
Well, here's everything you need to know to launch your career as a 19th century resurrection man today.
Okay, there you go. So that's I approve 19, of that.
Yeah, it's all old school.
So. Marketable skill.
Yeah,
I like that.
I know. I got that's another job I got to look and see if I can apply.
It was good money, and it's close enough to the Old Town Ale House. We can go right there after.
Oh, I like that. See how we're networking the whole thing.
Coming full circle.
Yeah.
And Adam is an author of young adult books. All kinds of books, right. But in particular
For this weekend, on Friday at noon at the Deerfield Barnes & Noble, signing copies of Play Me Backwards and some of my other books, whichever they can find and bring in.
So noon in Deerfield?
Noon in Deerfield, 5 o'clock in Naperville.
And go hang out at a bookstore again, people. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go to the bookstores. People don't go to the bookstores anymore.
Well, I feel like I'm old. Like, hey, you remember that?
Remember when we used to go to the bookstores?
We used to go to bookstores.
My husband and I used to hang out at the bookstores.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
I remember when the Borders came into my town in high school, and suddenly there was a place to hang out other than
exciting.
Walmart.
We hung
out at Walmart.
Yeah. And,
I've been in far too many taverns in my life when it comes to... I'm thinking
I couldn't get into a tavern in high school. So.
Well, that's where they took too long to put wine and beer in bookstores. Although who wants to be, have everyone drunk while flipping through books that they don't own yet?
That's true.
That's a problem.
It can get very messy.
I've never seen an obnoxious drunk in a bookstore.
That's true. That's a good point.
I take that back. At the Borders, I did. There was a guy.
You wait long enough, the memory will resurface.
He apparently had been drinking quite a lot, and he was at one of the listening stations singing along with a country record at the absolute top of his lungs.
That'll happen.
Badly, too. Mm. Oh, so badly. It was like almost reached a point, a kind of outsider art in bad country singing.
Oh, too bad you didn't have video of that.
I gotta say, I'm glad that you remembered that person, because mm-hmm. I started thinking, you know how some people say, well, I never got into a car accident in my life. Next thing you know, car accident.
Right.
So I'm glad you had
I spared us having to wander into the bookstore and have an obnoxious drunk show up.
Yeah, you don't need that.
I'm not going to need that on Friday, no.
Although Kevin Naughton and I are very well versed in handling drunks in the crowds, performing for many years.
Yeah,
long time as comics. Craig. Let our listeners know, what caller should we take this time for tickets to Zanies in?
How about the fourth caller?
Fourth caller, tickets to Zanies on Wells for Monday or Zanies in Rosemont for Tuesday. Kevin Naughton will be appearing with snapshots on Monday night, comics who are on the verge of losing it.
Well, thank you for that. It's a collection of people I've asked to perform at the show, and I'm going to close the show. I'll go up last, but I've got a really good solid roster of people who just want to go up, and they're going to be. And it's a great opportunity for everybody to go up, work on their act. It's a great opportunity.
Can I come this Monday? Do you have room for me?
Yeah,
All right. Come on in
and work on whatever you want to work on. And you know the thing that I love about it is honestly we never know who's going to stop in and what's going to happen, because we had We did the show once. I was closing it up, and all of a sudden the MC whispered in my ear, "Hey, Hannibal Buress is here." So Hannibal went up and did 20 minutes, and he was working on his HBO show. And then Pat McGann came in a couple of times to work on his sets when he was going to do a he did a couple of appearances on the Letterman show. So I never know, you know, and I also have veterans. Tim Slagle stops in periodically. I've had Kevin Bozeman on.
And how much time are comics getting, like 6 minutes?
Yeah, six it depends. Good. Anywhere from 6 minutes to 10, 12, something like that. Depends on what I can afford. I got a packed roster this coming Monday.
All right, I just need six. Can I do
you
six?
Just need, you want to come in and do six?
Can I do six this Monday?
You got, no all problem. Right,
cool. Because I'm working on a show called Patty Melt. So I just really...
Really?
Yes.
It took you this long to get to that title for a show?
I know, right? Isn't that sad? I know. Yeah. No, we have a segment called Patty Melt on the show that we've been doing for the last few years.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then we've been trying. I have a one woman show coming up at the Women's Comedy Festival on June 19th. So okay. I have a few bits I should probably work on before I do that. I know. I just go up and I flip out. You've seen me just go up and be mad about how people park.
Yes. That was. I have never seen you like that before.
I almost took Kevin out as a pedestrian. I was trying to get my minivan into a spot. And this, anyway, it makes me crazy when people take up more spots than their car has to occupy. The dude could, and then he wouldn't even pull up far enough. I pulled up, rolled up next to him. He's still in the car. I asked him if he could just pull up so I could pull in behind him, and he like rolls up maybe a foot. I'm like, really? That's all you get spared, dude?
I understand. I was just wondering. I'm in my car. I was looking. You
were
just
walking
across the street.
You were trying to, yeah.
I just want to get across the street safely, and I'm looking your way, wondering, hey, who's the maniac in the van who won't park? Because the guy in the front won't park. Come on, I just want to get across the street.
Well, that guy, because he owed me that space. That was not all his. That was not all his to occupy.
Owed you that space.
He owes another citizen of Chicago the space in that parking spot.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. You don't get all that real estate. It's not all yours. Right. It's a piece of crap car anyway.
Look at this. This is months later, and you're still losing it over this. You got to do my show now. You got to come in.
I won't do that. You were saying that you just came from work. You also, in your other life, are a bartender.
Oh, yeah. Bartend, yeah.
How's that make you feel at the end of the day?
Yeah, let me tell you something. I walked in there at 4 o'clock today, and immediately they're handing down these are the edicts. This is what has to be done. This would have to be moved. This is and I'm standing there, and I'm using every martial arts secret I've ever learned to deal with this and to say, I'll do whatever you want. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll do whatever you want. Whatever you want. You know. But at some point in this joint, I'm just going to snap. I'm just going to lose it, and I'm going to lose the
do
job.
Do we tell people the place, the location of where you're snapping?
No, we're not going to tell them where
it is. Yes, all right. That's just, fine. If you stumble across a bar and the bartender seems like he's a little on edge, it might very well be Kevin Naughton.
Yeah, it could be me, and we get these
What are
people,
the things that they want you to do that...
You know what they want me to do? Well, first of all...
Flies in the face of logic. What is it?
Okay, well, first of all, let's just... the customers come in, and right away, they want things like food and drink, and I can't take that, okay? That's just too much for me to deal
with.
Esmeralda,
you've been a bartender. It is appalling when they come in and they want food and drink.
It's ridiculous. It's like, you know, I am sitting here looking at my phone. Leave me alone.
Now here's the thing. Like she's right about that. A lot of the servers, they come up and they got their phones out. So like they'll give me the drink order, then they'll have their phones out. They'll be looking at their phones, and I'm
because they're waiting for you.
As they're waiting for me, and I need their attention to either move a drink over, slide a little something over. But no. I gotta go get a busboy for that. You know, there's just the lack of team spirit in this joint that I work at that I will not name for my own protection. All right. And by the way, it's an Italian restaurant too. So,
look out.
You gotta love that. And the food is incredible, but I'm gonna tell you right now, nobody knows who's responsible for anything. It's like, I'm like, okay, well, who wants me to do all this? And all I get is I get a shoulder shrug. I don't know nothing. It's like dealing with, it's a combination Italian neighborhood and the Bowery Boys from New York City.
Look, we just want you to get it done. Don't ask any more questions. Yeah. Just go ahead and get it done.
What's with the questions?
I don't know why you're asking these questions. Yeah. We ask you to do something, you just got to go do
just
it.
Just got to do it.
This is weird now.
You millennials, you're coming. Millennials, I'm 54 years old with this. What are you asking questions? You got to ask a question for it. Just do it. Do it.
Just
will
do
you?
It.
How big of a pine box do you need me to put you
oh,
in?
Oh, boy. That's a daunting task to take on when that's the possible outcome. Do you, Adam, when you're working around a lot of middle school kids.
Yeah.
I don't have
obnoxious drunks with the middle school kids.
No, but
that
do you.
That would be great.
Do you
on
have,
the tours, I do.
Do you those 12 year olds, huh?
Do you have moments where you're like, are we going to make it as a country because you see the young people? Or
more so from the chaperones, really.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The chaperones are usually way more problem than the kids are.
Do you notice from that generation, the chaperones, I'm guessing they're in their 20s, the chaperones?
Oh, no, they're like the 30s and 40s. 30s, okay. You know, the ages of people who have teenagers now.
What is disturbing about the 30 and 40-year-olds?
You get a lot of chaperones who think they're on vacation.
Oh, it's you're babysitting, so they don't have to do anything.
Right.
They're not getting the task of chaperoning.
They're the ones who are supposed to be doing the babysitting, technically, but some of them, no, they're just on vacation.
They're just, yeah, they don't want to be responsible. Ugh.
They're on vacation. I get a lot of them from small towns who are really hostile towards city living in general. I get a lot of lectures about what an idiot I must be to be living in a city like this.
Oh.
A lot of that.
Well, you know, that needs to stop.
Well, you know what Taylor Swift says. I live in a big old city. All you're ever going to be is mean.
Oh, there you go. Look at you with the Taylor.
See how hip I am now?
Craig is very pleased with the Tay Swift.
Yeah.
The Tay Swift
That was
reference.
A really great reference, yeah.
That was a very good reference.
I'd be over here quoting like Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, sure,
like
yeah.
That, which I know, you know, you're hip to, but you're not going to get a Taylor Swift quote out of me.
That would be a very frightening moment if I got Tay Swift from Kevin Naughton.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know what's happened. You know who always had the quickest references when it came to music was Jimmy Pardo. He was way too fast. His brain is on overdrive when it comes to certain references. I can't keep up.
He's something else.
Yeah, he's very, very funny. Because that's a great thing about Chicago comedy scene. We've seen so many people come up, and some of them who are writers now or, you know, people are familiar with now on a different level. But the comics that stay here, and this goes to, you know, you got to be crazy to live here. I'm getting to the point, Naughton, have you ever thought about living anywhere else? Or is this,
sure.
Yeah, because I love my city, but it's getting harder to keep the romance going.
Well, I can understand that too, but you have children and you have other responsibilities. But I will say this: I'm a single guy. I'm by myself,
So why'd you stay?
I'm
just kidding.
Yeah, where am I going to go? New York City or Los Angeles?
Yeah, I don't see either one of those happening.
Yeah,
you're a Chicago guy through and through.
Well, I am, but eventually something's going to have to occur. You know, I don't know that I would stay here for my entire life.
Yeah.
Something has to happen.
What would drive you out? The weather, the career? The career. The career
would
be the thing?
The weather, I mean, I know how to deal with it.
You know, it
mm-hmm. It's bad, and it can get really bad. Mm-hmm. But I got a job. I pay for my heat. I got a car.
That's
I
helpful.
Got snow tires.
Yeah, that
I
works.
I can push. Mm-hmm. It is a big deal, but it's not a deal breaker. But if all of a sudden something happened to propel me to somewhere else because of my career, I got to go.
Got to go.
And the thing is,
yeah,
that's
that makes
I
sense.
Say, I'd have to go, but I'd have to go either to New York
or LA.
Los
those
Angeles.
Are only, those
know,
are all my choices, yeah.
Although there was that one episode I did of Walker, Texas Ranger down near Dallas that, brought me down there for a couple of nights. That was
did
fun.
You like Texas? Or at least Dallas?
You know, technically where I was, it was near Dallas. It was a little area called Farmers Branch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they had the studio where they actually shot Walker, Texas Ranger, if you will. And it was that was a blast. But, you got to go where the
work is.
Yeah. You know, I think they shot years ago, Nicholson did that movie. And they had to shoot parts of it in Nebraska. He actually won an Academy Award for it. I can't remember.
About Schmid?
About Schmid,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, that
thank
was a cute
you.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a real subtle movie. I actually auditioned for that movie, and I was thinking, oh, man, if I get this, I'll go to L.A., and we'll do, you know, or I'll go someplace exotic, you know.
Right.
No, you get
Nebraska.
This part, you're going to Omaha. Going to Omaha.
That would be a little sad.
You know, and the good part is you'd be in a scene with Nicholson, but they got somebody else. I went in, it was great. I mean, just to have the tease was, I read it once. And then they said, we want to see you again. And I thought, ooh.
Oh,
that's when you start getting your hopes up because you're
know.
In a scene with Nicholson.
You start fantasizing.
Yeah.
About your close-up, all that stuff.
Yeah. Any kind of lie you can tell yourself, you start telling yourself at that moment. And it's a wonderful thing to speculate about. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is when the boot comes crashing down, whew, it hurts.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
What are you going to do?
That's show business. We are hanging out with Adam Selzer. He's going to be appearing at the Deerfield Barnes & Noble at noon on Friday, and the Naperville Barnes & Noble at 5 o'clock the same day. He's got his young adult books that he'll be signing and talking about. So go hang out with him at the Barnes & Noble.
It's going to be a good time.
And
there's coffee there.
And books. There's lots of books.
Books, too.
And Adam Selzer.
Books. Readings for squares, but they got coffee.
There you go. Kevin Naughton will be at the Zanies on Wells this Monday night at 8:30 with a whole rotation of comics. I will be there to work on 6 minutes.
Look at you. This is great. I wasn't expecting you to come
I know.
Out.
I forgot. I should have asked you sooner, and I realize it's the I'm up against the Women's Comedy Festival, so I should probably work on a few things and see if I'm going in the right direction. So I'll be winging it a little bit.
Oh, come on in and butcher it.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, just join the rest of us.
I'll probably talk about my braids. That'll be this Monday night. I'll be at the Snapshots with Kevin Naughton. That's at Zany's on Wells. Give us a call, 312-981-7200 for your chance to win a pair of tickets or wear a pair of tickets, whatever you want. And you can also text us. We'll give away some tickets on the text screen as well, 312-981-7200. And if you can't make Monday night, Kevin will also be at the Zany's in Rosemont at 8 p.m. And you can win a pair of tickets for that as well, 312-981-7200. Do I have a break before the news? You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are talking about a comic that I generally say, if you don't want me to talk about you on the air, don't do bad things. This is actually somebody I won't talk about on the air. Ooh, look at how mysterious that got. I know.
Who is this person?
It's so bad that I can't even talk about it on the air. I know.
It's so bad, I'm not even going to talk about it either. And I know who she's talking about, and I refuse to talk about it because I hate the same person.
I know. It's always funny when you have someone in the bubble.
Is
right?
It so bad that you guys don't even want to talk about it off the air?
No, I've told you about this off
bad.
The air.
Okay.
Yeah. it ain't that bad.
Man.
Give us a couple
but
of drinks.
I don't know.
He doesn't know him, so it gets
I probably don't know who the guy is anyway.
No, you don't know who the guy is. I don't think so. Maybe you do.
Probably not.
He's somewhat famous. Anyway, we were talking also about, we interviewed the secretary of the Naked Bike Ride Chicago earlier during the show, which is this Saturday night, by the way. So be careful where you are in the streets, Mr. Naughton.
Yeah.
Kevin Naughton is going to be at Zany's on Wells on Monday, but I suspect you'll be in the area on Saturday as well. Don't you live in the Lincoln Park's surrounding areas?
I'm actually in Lincoln Square, a little further north.
Come hang out at Ribfest with me. Go ahead.
I'll be, when I was listening to the Ribfest thing, I'm right there.
Mm-hmm.
But this Naked Bike Ride, I was coming out of Zany's one night at like 2:30 in the morning. And all of a sudden, they were all coming right at me as I was trying to pull my car out. And I was like, come on, get out of my way.
Okay. I wonder, that's going to be the weirdest thing, like not just to like accidentally hit a cyclist, but now you've hit a naked cyclist.
I didn't hit anybody.
I know, but I'm saying, like, what if people
were... Oh, yeah, that'd be terrible.
That would be real. I mean, like, it's bad enough, but like... Now
I wouldn't even really want to help the guy out.
I know, we'd be like...
That's a good point. Like one time I was at a Cubs game and all of a sudden...
Oh, not the story again. Can we move past Cubby jail?
Yes,
and like,
we're going to...
Indecent exposure. I'm kidding. I brought it up. I'm teasing.
You brought it up.
I know. I'm kidding.
Talk about being naked at a Cubs game. I wasn't even
not entirely naked. That's what we should have is naked Cubs game day. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kevin. You were saying you were at a Cubs game.
So much for a family atmosphere.
I know.
Huh?
I got thrown out so badly.
Yeah.
Banned for a whole season. Who would have thought that was discouraging? Go ahead.
There was a guy that jumped out in the middle of a Cubs game. In between innings, this guy jumps out on the field, and he's wearing jean shorts and, like, a T-shirt. That's it. And he decides to take the T-shirt off, and I'm sitting there, like, two aisles back. I'm sitting in fireman's seats with my buddy Pat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, this guy who looked like Charles Manson just ripped his shorts off, and he's running around the infield naked, and he's dodging security, and they're trying to catch this guy.
But they don't want to catch him, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking, okay, if I'm security, run until you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And then I'll take you by the arm or the hand or something, and I'll drag you off the field because you guys are indicating, I don't want to touch this guy.
Yeah, I don't want to tackle this guy and be wrestling around with him in the infield. Yes,
by the way, for a Cubs game, the attendance is 41,268 naked people is what you're talking about there. If everyone was naked, would the players also have to be naked? Is that...
Did someone just gag? Somebody just gag.
Yeah, I made a couple of noises there.
I can't even.
And especially in the bleachers where everybody's standing and stuff, you're not really that far away from other humans.
They told me at Wrigley a while ago, I had a school group that took the Wrigley tour. They told us the reason they've got that fence over on the bleachers is bums, you know, literally back when the bleacher bums were truly bums, would crawl out onto the field all the time. They had people employed whose whole job was scraping bums off the field. It's like, I want to be a bum scraper when I grow up. You know? So kids, ask your guidance counselor for literature about careers in the bum scrapatorial arts.
There you go.
You have an excellent vocabulary. Bum scrapatorial. That would be the name of a punk rock band right there.
That'd
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bum Scrapatorial.
Because you do want to do it in a way that doesn't harm the bum. I don't like using that, but it sounds weird to say it that way. But to harm the individual.
Well, you hope they're at least clothed.
Yes.
Right. But now we're throwing in naked bums into it.
Yeah. Well, naked people in general on the ground, you don't really know how to assist them.
No.
That is very confusing.
It is very confusing.
By the way, we had a text earlier from the 773 asking if either of you had performed at Cobart's Comedy Cove.
Oh, Cobart. Is it Cobart's or Cobart's?
Cobart's. K-O-B-A-R-T-S. Cobart's.
No, I don't recall Cobart's Comedy Cove.
No, neither myself. Do you know where Cobart's is located? Did they give a...
They will...
It was on Nagel, just south of Belmont. This is
Nagel,
a while ago.
Belmont.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
This is an older club.
That's in Chicago, even. I'd never heard of that. That's before my time. I was not around when Catch a Rising Star was one of the clubs. And Funny Bone was about to close out in what was it, Schaumburg, wasn't there?
There was two of them. There was Naperville and Schaumburg.
Yeah, those were about gone when I started.
Yeah, the Catch was at inside the Hyatt, I think, at the time. And that was run by Kenny and John, who ended up opening up Riddles on the far southwest side, KJ Riddles, which is still open.
Yeah,
111th Street. No, it's still open.
There was a comic. So this is what comics do. And now that we have social media and we're able to contact each other, comics will give you a heads up on a gig. And somebody gave me a heads up, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and dodge that bullet. With that gig.
Out there?
I mean, you know, it's there comes a point in your life when you go, what is it worth to me emotionally to continue to go down this path?
Yeah.
I was talking, when we were talking, this is kind of like when we were talking last night about doing Man Cow's show, when I was able to start saying, you know what, I think I'm going to pass this time. Thank you so much for the opportunity, but I can't take the emotional abuse on the ear. Like, can you imagine if you came in here, Adam, and like, you were just trying to talk and I just started yelling at you?
Yeah. I can't.
You can't imagine.
You know, I had a very different experience. Some Man Cow. It wasn't really him though. The other guest was Hulk Hogan, and you know it was a rough week, and you know I was getting muscled out of a company that I had founded and everything. I was pretty down, and there's Hulk Hogan talking about how you know his wife left him for an 18-year-old, and but it was all about you know projecting positive vibes into the universe, and then you get positive vibes back. It's all about riding the highs and surviving the lows. Like here, I never thought at a down point in my life I would take comfort in the wisdom of Hulk Hogan.
Well, that what a great fortuitous moment for you to be there.
But there we were. It made me feel like, what must it be like to be him? Everywhere you go, it's the most surreal moment of somebody else's life.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's really something.
How weird is that going to be?
Well, I've heard that about Paul McCartney. Like, obviously, anyone who comes into contact with him, and apparently he's so, like, laid back and cool about it. Like, yeah, I know I'm Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And it's also great to be me. But like,
I can
nice
picture
about
that.
It.
I can picture him being like that.
Yeah, my son Griffin is very much into Paul McCartney and the Beatles right now. It's the White Album, Craig. I was trying to remember what album it was.
That's a great one. That's a good pick.
He's listening to everything on the White Album.
Really?
Oh yeah.
He's learning how to play the guitar.
Paul really screams on that one too.
He screams.
He does a lot of screaming.
Oh, that's.
Right. I don't want us to get sued by the Beatles or anything.
That definitely puts us in the category
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I remember he called in on there was a quiz show one time. Nobody could call in with the answer of which Beach Boys song does Paul McCartney heard chewing a vegetable. The song is Vegetables, but nobody could get it, so Paul McCartney called in and answered and won an autographed picture of Paul McCartney.
He couldn't take it anymore. He just had to call in and finally answer. I love that. Yeah, that's fantastic. Can you imagine getting that phone call? Well, that's kind of like you mentioned Bill Murray. Like, he just drops in randomly into people's lives.
Oh, yeah, he'll like show up at people's parties and do the dishes and stuff.
It's true.
I see that.
This is fantastic. By the way, we have not yet talked about this, and I know we're having Elliot Serrano on. I know you won't be here, so I'll wait till you come back, because Craig will be on the road heading to a wedding. He, by the way, for anyone who's wondering, he is not driving his 95 Jeep Cherokee with the death wobble.
No.
I'm sorry.
We're not.
I know. I'm sorry. I was part of the
it's totally fine.
The don't drive your car to New York club.
Well, part of the 95. Reason why I'm not driving it is Warren has it again. So
that'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of car you're renting to get to New York?
No. I actually have no idea. Betty took care of all that.
All right.
From Mexico. Because she was so determined to not take the Jeep or not do anything else that she rented a car on her own.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I know.
If someone takes care of that.
I have a question. What's the Mexico?
His wife is from Mexico.
Oh, she's from
Mexico. She's visiting right now. She gets back later today or tomorrow, and then we're going straight to New York after I do Ribfest.
He's going to eat at Ribfest tonight at 6:30.
Okay, so for clarity purposes now, she's driving?
No, she's flying from Mexico to the United States, and then we rented a car to drive to Detroit where my friend's going to drive us to New York.
Okay, I'm exhausted.
And yes.
And you're leaving right from Ribfest?
Yes.
Have you noted where all the rest stops are along the way?
Uh-huh. Yes. Plastic bags. Please have plastic bags. And this is from a road comic who spent as many hours, I mean, more hours than I did in cars. And I used to take Amtrak, by the way. That's one of the reasons I went for Mueller.
I convinced her to do car instead of anything else because I think this sounds romantic and fun.
With your friend from Detroit?
Discover this country.
Yeah. Well, my friend, yeah, he's driving. He's got a better car than us. It's got more miles to the gallon.
Yeah, if you have a nice big, in my opinion, if you're going to do a long road trip, get yourself a nice, big, comfortable vehicle because you will thank yourself for it as you begin to move on and start to really love the person you're with.
But from what are you saying that you're renting the car from Chicago and taking that to Detroit and then your friend's car is being driven from Detroit to New York?
Correct. So we are actually returning the car in Detroit and then not having a rent a car.
Do you know what kind of car your friend has?
My friend has some sort of diesel engine Volvo thing. That's what he said. He said it gets a lot of miles.
I knew that sound was coming, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. No,
that's what he said.
I know.
Wow.
I mean, we could keep our rent a car, I guess, but you know. Everyone's confused by this plan. I like this plan.
What happened to taking the... Oh, you wanted to be able to drive to
Detroit. The train is more expensive than gas, so we're actually going to be saving money.
Fair enough.
And we have more control over what we do
especially,
on the way.
Especially if you're going to be eating at Ribfest.
Well, and we might actually now leave Thursday night. If we get to Detroit soon enough, we might just go straight to New York to give ourselves more time to venture.
Oh, there you go. And when are you driving back? So the wedding is on Saturday?
The wedding is on Saturday, and then we have our Airbnb for Saturday night, and I believe we have Friday night and Saturday night, so we have to come back sometime Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So it's quick.
Well, we were going to stay and do more New York stuff, but Betty just did a whole trip, so she wants to come
home. She's tired. Wants to come home.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Esmeralda, are you tired just listening to this, too?
I'm just amazed that he's still like, why can't I take my Jeep?
I would love to take the Jeep.
Really? With your death wobble?
I mean, it might be fixed. And even if it's not, it just adds another layer of interest to the whole trip.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows when death wobble happens?
Yeah.
Death wobble, new band name, I call it.
Death wobble. That is a good name for deathwobble.com. Can you please buy that?
I'm buying it right now.
Death wobble.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's cool.
Talked about being on Amtrak trains that you would travel with. I tried to take the train a couple of times going from Chicago to Buffalo, and then once I think Chicago to Rochester, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And two separate occasions, one of them was a snowstorm. I was glad I was on something other than driving personally.
Yeah.
You know, but the Amtrak train, the one thing that I didn't like about it was people can take their shoes off. Don't like that at all.
I like that's.
Oh my God. That's a really great argument. I should have made that argument.
They take their shoes off, Betty.
Right.
They're shoeless.
Their shoes are off and they smell. By the way, from the 260, this is Trucker Phil. He says if I need a long distance driver, he's in.
Oh, there you go.
He'll drive me to New York.
Semper Fi, Trucker Phil.
Right. And then from the 630, NYC, is that 12 hours from Detroit? I think, about that. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Is it 12 hours? I don't think so.
Because it's like 6 hours from here to Detroit, right?
No. Well, you
how
see,
many hours?
You have a time change, but it's like a 4.5 hour ride technically, but you got to
add
an extra hour on.
Right, yeah, okay.
Because you're heading east, but then once you're in Detroit, then you shoot to
New York, no big deal.
It looks like I'm talking 7 hours maybe. I don't.
You think 7 hours from Detroit?
Wait a minute. If you're going to stop off at the local
we're all
kind of
drawing our
have
phones
a slice
here, you
pie
know.
With the family.
Oh, you got to do that. I'm just saying. Hold on. You Detroit.
That's the whole point to drive. I want to make stops. It says 9 hours and 37 minutes from Detroit to New York City.
We're all just Googling his travel time.
Google. Everybody's Googling.
Yeah, I got 9 hours, 37 minutes.
9 hours, 37 minutes.
Is speeding while he's doing these trips.
How many hours did
I-80.
You say?
I thought it would be about 7+ hours from Detroit to New York.
And if you fly, it's $207 on Spirit Airlines.
I'm not going to fly.
I know you're not.
Fly.
It's too late now. It would be terrible.
No, it's not too late. We can cancel the whole thing.
No,
you can cancel
not...
the rental car, can't you?
Yeah, well, you can cancel the rental car.
Yeah,
rental
just
car.
Get on a plane. Yeah,
yeah, but fine. But flights this late would be very it would be prohibitively
and
expensive.
And the thing I don't like about taking a flight
oh,
is
God, the shoes?
That, you know, people
they can
take
their
shoes
off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see who we're calling for our last call after this on 720 WGN. Before we do our wake-up call, we have Steve on the line who wanted to add something to our conversation about the Hulk Hogan. Yes, Steve?
Hey. Yay, good morning. The Hulkster. Yeah, they... right before I left the house, he was on Johnny Carson reruns.
Oh, how cool.
On Me TV or whatever it is, antenna TV. and it was from 1982. And they showed Johnny Carson was freaking out because of the size of his arms and everything.
Yeah, because Carson was kind of a slight dude.
Yeah, they showed a clip of the Rocky movie that Hulk was in right before he came
Rocky
out.
Rocky III.
Yeah, and it was in the ring, and the I don't know if it was trick photography, but it looked like he was like 2 feet taller than Stallone.
It's probably about right.
They kind of angled that camera, though, to make it look even nice. But you guys are doing a good job, and go home and get some sleep.
All right, thanks, Steve. You be careful. Have a good night. Thank you. We are doing our We're doing our last call or wake up call for one of our legislators. We are calling representatives and senators and whoever else's number we can get who is involved in perhaps getting us past the budget crisis in the state of Illinois. Because the longer it takes, the more at risk we are of losing social services, of schools not opening in the fall, and just a lot is going down the drain. Kevin on. So we're calling Representative Robert Martwick. Now, this is a guy I think would actually leave his phone on, Craig. I kind of get the feeling that, by the way, I've purse dialed Representative Martwick before, and I have my mom's car has a Bluetooth, so my car has called him before, and it's very awkward.
Does he answer every time?
Please leave a message.
Oh, he has his own voice on the outgoing message. I like that. Hello, Representative Martwick. This is Patty Vasquez.
Craig Collins.
Esmeralda Leon.
Kevin Naughton.
Adam Seltzer.
We just wanted to give you a call. Every night we are calling a legislator as part of our last call / wake-up call, and in the hopes that perhaps we can encourage you. And I know that you are working very hard to get the work of the state done, the work of the people done, to pass a budget. And I heard that Governor Rauner talked to a lot of high-ranking Democrats over the weekend. We were wondering if you happened to be one of those. I doubt that you were, because it seems that no Democrats that we are familiar with have heard from the governor. Leader Lou Lang said he did not get a call. Representative Stephanie Kifowitz said she didn't hear from him. I believe, I'm guessing Michael Madigan didn't hear from him. Although, did you see, Craig, did you see where former Governor Jim Edgar said that this is not how you fix the state, is by name calling?
Wow.
And you know, accusing people of being corrupt. He said that he basically says this is a state of shame, and that's former Republican Governor Jim Edgar is saying that Governor Rauner is going about this all wrong.
And interesting.
I thought that was very interesting. He says he needs to set aside turnaround agenda and get the budget done.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the governor has said that he is willing to back off of that. Seems like he's, but then there's nothing else. I don't think Okay, Kevin, let me catch you up a little bit.
Yes, dear.
So the governor proposed a temporary budget, which might get us through January, and everyone's like, oh, well, then you know, the Democrats didn't even go along with that. He gave them the option to do that on the very last day of session, mm-hmm. which means they had less than like 12 hours. Till midnight, really, to go over what that budget looked like, even though a week before they had also proposed a temporary budget and the governor didn't move on that. Yeah. So rather than contemplating that, giving them a week to discuss it, he tried giving them less than 12 hours. So this is where we are in the state. Do you vote during our local elections and state elections?
I don't trust anybody at all with any of this.
Okay.
Because everybody has their own personal agenda on how they want to handle this.
Okay.
And I can't imagine, even to be devil's advocate on their side, what it's like to be responsible or irresponsible, whatever you want to call it, to have to deal with all of this stuff that is you know, constantly, you know, I mean, I think of the president or somebody, you know, it's an awful lot to have to deal with, you know. So I couldn't imagine what that part is like. But when it comes to, as you were mentioning, if schools are going to close and children are going to be affected in the educational process,
mm-hmm.
plus I got a lottery ticket that's going to hit.
They're not paying those out. Yeah.
And I'm a little upset about that on a selfish note.
Satisfied with your message.
Oh. We'll have to let Representative Mark know the rest of your thoughts on that. So is that you didn't answer my question as to whether or not you vote.
No, I don't vote.
Oh, okay.
No, because I don't trust, anybody. No, so...
Adam, you vote, don't you?
Sure, I vote.
And you don't trust anybody either?
Not very much.
You don't have to trust anybody to vote.
If you don't trust anybody, though, in a perfect world, who's in charge of stuff?
Right.
Right. Well, whoever can handle the job and not screw things up too badly.
Someone was mentioning that no one gets excited about voting anymore. And my very first election, I was so excited. I was like so thrilled with the opportunity to exercise my right as a citizen, especially as a woman, considering that within the last 100 years we had only, you know, gotten the right to vote. And I was very excited about it. I continue to be very excited. Well, I make my husband dress up as a precinct captain. That's how excited I get.
Okay, now do we have to get into your personal life that deeply?
Keep your shoes on, not more to this on 720 WJ.